Good morning. Welcome into another edition of The Beacon. Mrs. Kleeman, good morning.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am excellent. It is a good thing just to be alive today.
You know what? You know? It is. That's a good statement.
Yep.
That is a true story.
It is absolutely positively terrific.
Yeah.
And we got a good show today.
We do.
We've got a lot of good things coming on. My buddy, Karen Tamley from the mayor's office. She's actually the commissioner for the mayor's office for people with disabilities.
She is.
She's going to give us an overview of what's going to be happening in 2016.
Cool.
Sounds like a busy year,
That's
too.
Good. I would imagine that the years get busier as the years go on because I think that accommodations and accessibility are just becoming much more, you know, the norm.
Funny
the
you
standard.
Should say that.
Oh, good.
Because she's going to talk about how the office was very instrumental in getting the new dog relief area opened at O'Hare Airport. So you don't have to go through security anymore.
That's very cool.
You can do it all inside. And it's so cute.
Oh, they have a dog relief area inside the airport?
Inside the airport now. And they have little fire plugs. You know?
Really?
They have all that,
that
stuff.
That is awesome.
It's kind of cool. You
Has Lincoln used it yet?
No. I just read about it.
Okay.
Sandra Murillo read me a story about it.
That is the cutest.
And I said, wow, that's great.
Oh, my God.
So we're trying to get a hold of the commissioner for the airport.
Cool.
You know, with the holidays and
Yeah, oh,
it's kind of rough
yeah.
to try and get a hold of
I mean,
of
I think after the holidays settle down, people can, you know, pay more attention to
transportation. Yeah, you know, they'll be able to just pay attention to the normal stuff. So she's going to talk about that. She's going to talk about how all the programs went for the anniversary of ADA for the 25th anniversary last year. And then look ahead at what's coming up this year. This is the alternate year when we have Access Chicago.
Right.
Down at Navy Pier.
That's right. Every two years. Yeah.
Every 2 years now. So we're going to touch on that a little bit. And then obviously more as we get along with the year.
It's early on.
And then what else do we have?
We have got Sandy Murillo who is going to be joining us with Sandy's View. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what she's... Do we know?
No, we never know.
Oh, it's
because
a surprise.
She's like that guy who used to have the bushy eyebrows on CBS's
you
60
are
Minutes.
Dating yourself.
No. 60 Minutes. It was just up to last year.
Oh.
That was the guy, Andy Rooney.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Who got off the air on Sunday, died on Monday.
Wow.
He was 90 years old. He retired on Sunday, and he died on Monday.
Wow.
So,
boy, the message there is just don't retire?
The message is just don't retire. Just keep on working, you know?
Keep on working.
As long as you can keep on working and bushy eyebrows, you're in good shape,
That's
I guess.
Right. That's right.
But anyway, Sandra always surprises us because she writes a blog.
She does.
On the Lighthouse website.
Which is also called Sandy's View.
Which
correct?
Is called. See, I figured we ought to keep things consistent,
Absolutely.
So that's why I brought it onto the show.
Great.
She is just a marvelous lady.
She is.
She is so sweet, so. Not only is that, but she is very efficient at what she does.
She's got several rare qualities that you find all in one person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then speaking of rare qualities in one person.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
You can let us turn up the beat.
I am going to let you turn up the beat.
That's right.
Yep. So we'll first hear from Sandy, and then I'll come back with my health tips for the new year.
Absolutely. And then, of course, Tom's Corner.
You betcha.
So we should get underway
with
Karen Tamley, the commissioner from the mayor's office for people with disabilities. She'll be up after this. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. We're here.
Do you think housing discrimination is a thing of the past? Think again. Every year, people who believe they have experienced housing discrimination file complaints with the Illinois Department of Human Rights. Reporting discrimination is the first step to stopping it. Learn about your right to choose where you want to live, free from unlawful housing discrimination. Visit illinois.gov/DHR or call the Illinois Department of Human Rights at 312-814-6229. Fair housing is your right. Use it.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
It's hard to believe that we're into 2016 already, and the anniversary of ADA is kind of a memory, a close memory, but one that has passed us after last year. Joining us on the phone is Karen Tamley. She is the commissioner for the mayor's office for people with disabilities. Karen, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
You know, I'm looking for a lot of good things in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot going on, I think, in the... I've got to tell you, flat out, I spent a lot of time down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that they are nowhere near as accommodating and as aware of what disability issues are like we are here.
Right.
I mean, you run a fantastic operation over there.
Thank you.
And I think people who complain ought to go away for a while and then try to come back, and they'll really appreciate, they'll kiss the ground that the city sits on, you know. So, mm-hmm. But there's some things coming up this year that are going to be important as well. This is, I know, the, what is it correct to say biannual or...
biannual Access Chicago.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be taking place in July, huh?
Yep, July 13th, and that's a Wednesday. So we'll be back bigger than ever, and we're really excited. It will still be at Navy Pier,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all day an event, and looking for organizations that are interested in becoming vendors. You know, we definitely want the disability community to turn out, so... So starting early next year, we'll be really ramping up efforts to get the word out about the event.
Sure. Have you got any theme planned for the Access Chicago? Because I know there's usually always a theme that the last few of them have had.
Yeah, not yet that we're putting out there. We're kind of discussing a couple of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we always try to kind of keep it a little bit different every year.
Sure.
So people can expect something new and fresh and not come thinking that they're going to get the same thing that they got 2 years ago.
Right.
But I also think it helps now doing the expo every other year instead of every year is also important in kind of captivating new audiences.
Sure, exactly. And you know, people look forward to it more in that. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for going to Access Chicago and actually being one of the vendors there a few years back, oh my God, I can't believe this. It's got to be 9 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was representing Guiding Eyes for the Blind, and they were I think the theme at that time was about real estate and buying people
mm-hmm.
with disabilities.
Yep.
I would have never owned my first property.
Right, right.
Because of the information that I was able to glean from the separate conferences and everything else going on. So it's always a wonderful affair to go to.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing. There have been some changes at O'Hare Airport for people with service dogs.
Right. So this year we added an animal relief area on the air side,
mm-hmm.
Which hadn't existed previously. As you know, we've had a landside animal relief area for many years, but, you know, we really work to try to give travelers with disabilities more options and more ease of travel.
Sure.
Because we know that it is difficult, particularly when you have a layover or, you know, you have long wait time.
Sure.
For a delayed flight, and you don't want to have to go all the way back out through security to relieve your animal outside of the airport. That being able to stay within, you know, that secured area is
sure.
really important for many travelers.
I like the fact that there's a little fire hydrants put up around.
Yeah. So aviation really worked on kind of getting some available space, trying to make it as centrally located as possible.
Sure.
And it was interesting today because I was on the Stevenson Expressway on the 55, and I saw some big electronic billboards advertising the fact that the animal relief area was there.
At O'Hare?
No, it was on the expressway. Yeah, the one at O'Hare.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it was great. It was a nice surprise.
Isn't it nice to see that your work is actually accomplishing something where people are noticing it, you know?
Yes, for sure.
What else do you see are going to be some of the big things that we should be looking for in 2016?
Well, one of the big projects we've been working on this year is updating the city's accessibility code.
Mm-hmm.
So we want it consistent with the new ADA standards.
Sure.
But we're also looking for ways to increasing accessibility and continuing to make Chicago a progressive city for people with disabilities. So that will be coming out this year. We're also going to be doing some work around the area of hopefully technology and ways that we can increase accessible technology and access to technology for individuals with disabilities, particularly individuals who are blind or low vision.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing probably a lot more community outreach, meeting with the disability community about issues that, you know, impact their lives and things that they would like to see us work on. So those are just a couple of things. We have some continuation of ADA legacy projects.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one big initiative that we launched this year was a task force on literacy for
right.
students with disabilities. There's a 43% achievement gap in reading proficiency between students that have IEPs or students with disabilities and their non-disabled counterparts. And we think that's really unacceptable. The mayor thinks it's unacceptable. And so the mayor put together a task force of literacy experts and community organizations, principals, school officials to really begin to shine a light on this problem,
right.
examine the reasons behind it, and develop by early summer some really solid recommendations that we can move forward to begin to close that gap. So that's a really big initiative that we started this year. We're going to be continuing through mid-next year.
Sure. Extremely important. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that there are, at the Chicago Lighthouse, we have the IIMC, which is the division that provides all the textbooks in Braille it's available, so it's just got to be utilized and brought into the program, for CPS and for the other school districts around the state as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything new in transportation as far as how are the bus shelters with the Audible? How's that working out?
I think those are pretty good. We are also having them available on the new bus rapid transit, which
mm-hmm.
is going to open up this month. As you may have heard, there are new dedicated bus lanes along Washington and Madison streets with the idea of getting folks out of the loop quickly.
Sure.
And so there will be those automated buttons there. So there are some,
sure.
some things that are going up, and we've really engaged a couple of key members in the blind community to help assess some of the accessibility of those new stations. We are going to be working with CTA this year to really try to look at how we can, strategically
sure.
work to make many, many more stations accessible. We're at 70% now, which is really good for a 100-year-old system.
Yeah.
You won't see that in other legacy systems like in New York or,
Boston or
Philadelphia. And it takes a long time because it's a very old infrastructure and it can be difficult to make it accessible. But we're doing some really great things, we hope, in the next year around that area.
Well, they're doing their part, too, the CTA,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get the infrastructure, brought more up to date than that. I used to use one station on the Blue Line. I used to use the Damon Street, the Damon exit, the Damon station over there. And, that thing looks like it was up there since 1893.
Yeah.
But they finally, did a facelift on it and brought in some of the more passenger comfort
yeah.
type of things that are needed, not only by the disabled community, but by the mm-hmm. The general public as well.
Yeah,
so.
Right, exactly.
The irony of this whole thing about Madison and Washington Street,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you were in town at the time, but I remember when I was little, there used to be the bus lanes in the middle of Washington and Madison streets.
Mm.
And those actually were used for the old streetcars years
right.
ago.
Yeah.
So now, everything old is new again. You know what they say?
That's right. Yeah.
That's it.
Very true.
That's about it. So things are looking like they're going to be pretty busy in your office
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, they are. And like I said, just given 8825 was so busy this year, we had so many events. We had Over 180 organizations came together with partner commitments to step up accessibility all over the region. We launched the what I think is the nation's first ever Leadership Institute for Emerging Leaders with Disabilities, mm-hmm. with the idea of getting more representation of our community on civic boards and non-for-profit boards and in higher level positions. So we launched that 2 weeks ago. So we've been really, really busy this year, and I think a lot of these projects are going to carry over into 2016 to make sure that, you know, we don't lose focus or momentum and that we can see them, you know, through the end. So that's really great. So we definitely have our work cut out for us this year.
It does. You're going to keep Joe Albrecht very busy then, I take it, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And he's the kind of guy you have to keep busy, you know?
Definitely, and he's done a great job this year around working with our young people with disabilities, particularly in the public schools. And this year, this summer, we were able to get 25 high school students with disabilities paid summer internships, and we're looking to double that number this summer. So there's going to be a lot of work going on in the employment area as well, and employment readiness.
You must read my mind, because that's where I'm going to go next. You know, to see if there's going to be, if your office is working closely to try and get more and more opportunities available for not only, you know, visually impaired, but for all people with disabilities so that they can get out there. The wonderful thing is we can provide them with the education, you know, particularly college and, you know, try to be as aware of the special needs in high school. But the problem is a lot of times when they get out of school, they don't have the opportunities.
That's right.
You know.
And I think that's what we're really trying to do is give those transition-aged students really some solid work experience because, you know, there's an overwhelming number of students with disabilities in the public schools in Chicago, and we really want to work to make sure that they all leave with opportunities to get work, go to, you know, college, or simply become more independent. And so it's been a big focus of ours, and it will continue to be in the new year.
And the nice thing is you take a look, and with the programs that you do provide, you're going to be offering companies that are in the Chicago area, you're going to be offering them insight to people with disabilities, their loyalty, and the fact that just because they may have a disability doesn't mean they can't do the job.
Right.
So, I mean, that's very important.
Exactly.
So.
There's a huge talent pool that's being overlooked and, you know, that we need to do more. And actually, we are working with a number of companies in Chicago to really start to get them to think about disability inclusion and hiring. We did an all-day summit in November just for employers on this very issue, and we had fantastic attendance. We had over 70 companies from the Chicagoland region attending. So it's a really good start to begin to think about how we move the needle on employment for people with disabilities, because I really believe this is one of the unmet promises of the ADA. You know, 25 years later, our employment rate of our community is still extremely high, and we need to do more.
We really do. Do you still do the mentoring day?
Yeah, except this year we changed it up a little bit. We did more of a job fair. So this year we moved it to the South Shore Cultural Center, and we had high school students with disabilities come, and they got to go to workshops on resume writing and interviewing skills, as well as kind of interact with community resource tables.
Sure.
And then we had a select group of students that had already resumes written and were job ready that got to interact with 17 employers. And we understand that a number of students did get jobs out of that, so we kind of had more of a job fair. We had about 850 high school students attend that all-day event. So it was really successful, and it's something I think we're going to look at doing next year, just because we did more of not just kind of the hands-on employment readiness, but have that opportunity for them to begin to interact with employers, which I think is really critical.
Well, good. It sounds like there's a lot of exciting things going on. I'm going to let you go back and get back to work, and we've got a clean slate, as they say, with 2016, and I'm sure the office that you so skillfully manage is going to come up with some great ideas for people with disabilities.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it, and happy holidays to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. That's Karen Tamley, the Commissioner for People with Disabilities in the Mayor's Office. I'm Bill Jurek. The show is The Beacon. We'll be back with more right after this.
I feel like it's all on my shoulders. How am I going to take care of my parents if they develop an eye disease like glaucoma? Glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in African Americans and Hispanics in the United States. And what about my kids? Will they inherit it? Not to mention my risk factor. I'm really concerned and I need some answers.
Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for answers, including a free brochure on glaucoma.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we're here.
We are.
Every Saturday morning, you can count us being here. There are so many ways. There is a plethora.
I love that word. I do.
Do you like plethora?
I do.
There's a plethora. I can tell you, never mind. It's a family show, and it's everybody's eating breakfast.
So how do you make that dirty? I don't.
No, it's not. It's just, never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, you can listen to us Saturday mornings live from 7 to 8. You know, I don't want to curdle your milk with what we're talking about. Or you can check us out on Wednesday night on Chris Radio.
Yes, you can.
If it's more convenient for you, between 7 and 8 o'clock. I'm going to say that. And I think it's between 7 or 8.
I mean, we've only been on the air 8 years, so
yeah,
really,
we don't know
how would we know?
We have no clue.
We're newbies.
That's right.
We're newbies.
And then you can check us out on the Lighthouse website.
Yes. You can. We have a stream. What's the word?
No.
It's a podcast.
Podcast.
That's the word I'm looking for.
I'm going to take some people to task.
Oh.
Because they redid the Lighthouse website and they only have our shows going back to August.
Really?
So we're going to have to find out what's going on. What happened to the other 7 years worth of programs, you know?
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about that.
7 years of programs.
And then, if you happen to be traveling, you know, or trying to avoid the tax collector, you can take us with you on your laptop computer, your tablet, or whatever else they're using these days. And
everything
is right. Check into chicagosprogressivetalk.com.
We're there too.
And we're there too.
Holy smokes.
We got a lot of people.
You can't miss us.
No, we're like, you know, the proverbial, you know what.
Yes.
And speaking about the proverbial, you know what, with a lot of information, is our own Sandra Morello.
I don't even know what the proverbial you know what means.
I'm just going to go with it. When we go into the segment, I'll tell you what that means.
Okay, I look forward to that.
So ladies and gentlemen, and I always refer to her, it's called Sandy's View, but I always refer to her as Sandra.
Very, very official.
So here is our Sandra.
Good morning, everyone. This is Sandy from Sandy's View. This morning, we're talking with Judy, who's an instructor at the Hadley School for the Blind. She'll be talking to us about some new changes that were recently made to the Braille system here in the United States. The Unified English Braille Code went into effect early on this January, so we're going to speak with Judy a little about that. Thanks, Judy, so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me, Sandy.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I understand that you've been an instructor at Hadley for about 10 years, and you teach Braille courses at Hadley.
Yes, I've been working at Hadley since April of 2006, and before I worked at Hadley, I taught Braille on and off, mostly at the college level since 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked mostly with people who were training to become teachers and rehabilitation professionals. So some of your listeners who attended Northern Illinois University may have been in my classes or learned Braille from one of my students.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a certified literary Braille transcriber.
So going to the subject of this interview, what is UEB? You know, some people probably have heard the abbreviation. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Sure. UEB stands for Unified English Braille, and it's important now because it is now the official Braille code of the United States, and we officially implemented it on Louis Braille's 270th birthday. That was this year, January 4th, 2016. There are four reasons why Braille is so important, and they explain why UEB was adopted by the United States and why the Hadley School is so eager to be among the very first in the United States to offer training in UEB. We started offering our course transitioning to UEB a year ago, and it's been extremely well received. Students are eager to learn UEB because it's a unified code.
Mm-hmm.
That means it brings together literary, math, and computer codes into one code.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes it easier for new Braille learners. For example, one aspect of the unification is having only one Braille symbol for every print symbol, no matter where it's used. And for your listeners who are Braille users, I'm going to give an example of the dollar sign, mm-hmm. that the Braille dollar sign in UEB is the same whether you use it in a math, a literary, or Braille or a computer Braille context.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, UEB has been adopted by all English-speaking countries. I have students in my transition to UEB course at Hadley from Canada, Trinidad, Tobago, Zimbabwe, the United Kingdom, as well as from all over the United States. With UEB, all English-speaking countries will use the same symbols and will follow the same rules. You know, I don't know if any of your listeners has ever read a Braille magazine from England, but they may have noticed that the British don't always capitalize the beginnings of sentences, which is looks a little odd when you read it.
Mm-hmm.
But from now, it'll be uniform from country to country to country because we'll all use the same symbols and we'll follow the same rules. Third, UEB has been designed to make it easier for computer translation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should actually have more materials and more accurate materials.
Sure.
And lastly, it's been designed to make it easier for users of refreshable Braille displays mm-hmm. to back translate accurately from Braille to print. One of my students works with high schoolers, and she said that her high school students were so happy that their printed work will now be indistinguishable from their sighted peers' work because they go to a mainstream high school.
Interesting. So, in other words, you know, it wasn't just because the Braille Authority of North America, Urbana, decided to, you know, make the changes just to be in, you know, on the same equal footing, I guess, as other English-speaking countries, but also because of the new technology innovations, you know, social media, email addresses, all those new symbols that we have nowadays going on.
Right, because print has evolved over time,
mm-hmm.
and so now everyday text uses things like italics and boldface and accent marks and special symbols like the hashtags, and now UEB is our way of making sure that Braille has evolved with print.
Mm-hmm.
So that Braille users can produce the same quality of print materials as sighted users. And Braille users will also know exactly what's on the page
mm-hmm.
because they'll get the same information that print readers get from the page.
Now, for those of us, you know, who are Braille readers, you mentioned the new, you know, the dollar sign. Are there any new distinguishable rules? What are some of the rules, I should ask, some of the other rules? Could you briefly talk about that?
Okay. Some of the differences between English Braille American Edition and UEB.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
First, I just want to say that when we talk about the differences, I know that a lot of longtime Braille users feel trepidation at the thought of learning a new code.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did. I mean, I'd used Braille for over 40 years when I learned UEB, and I can say I didn't go into it as a happy camper, but it is well worth it.
Uh-huh.
So first, let me reassure you that UEB is designed to be backwards compatible.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means that a reader of English Braille American Edition will be able to read UEB without difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Those who only read uncontracted Braille may not notice very many changes at all.
Sure.
However, the contracted Braille reader will be able to read without difficulty and will immediately notice that, one, we lose 9 contractions. For those listeners who are contracted Braille users, 9 contractions that we lose are to, into, by, the DD, the COM, BLE, the O'Clock, the ALLY, and the ATION.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody named Sally Nation is going to have to learn another way of writing her name.
Mm-hmm.
The reader will also notice that UEB follows the same spacing as print.
Okay.
That's the reason why we lost the to, into, and by.
Sure.
And we no longer join together the contractions and, for, of, the, and, with
mm-hmm.
when they occur next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we follow the same spacing as print. And this goes for the punctuation, too.
Sure.
I mean, in EBAE, you always had the dash always connected with the word before it and after it.
Mm-hmm.
In UEB, you follow with whatever the print is using.
Oh,
so if you're reading something that was in Boston UEB and you see the dash and there's a space before it and after it, you'll know, hey, that's what they did in the print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I myself have been looking at some of the publications from BANA, Braille Authority. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you said, if you are a grade 2 reader, if you know contractions, You know, from my initial experiences and what I've seen so far, observations, it looks like it, you know, it's definitely, and you can, you know, pick up easily on the changes. You know, it's just a matter of adjusting to.
Right. You also probably notice that some contractions are used more frequently because of some of the rule changes. Like, for example, the ED contraction can now be used in the words like reduce and freedom, edifice.
Right.
And so, you know, for a long-time user, you know, the first time you see the ED in like freedom, it looks weird. It just looks it looks odd. But I can say that I've been using UEB exclusively now for the last year, and when I go and I read something in the older code, that looks strange to me. Like, oops,
sure.
They have contracted. And so, you know, it takes me about a paragraph to switch from one code to the other. And then once I'm a paragraph into something, it just all looks very familiar and very comfortable.
Sure.
So these types of changes, they make the text to look a little bit different. Like maybe you think the transcriber made an error, but the text, like you said, is very readable. And I can embrace these changes because, you know, one of the nice things about UEB is it makes contracted Braille easier to learn. I work with inmates at a local prison unit, and they're learning UEB because they're starting to become Braille transcribers. Now, the ones that I'm teaching UEB, they're learning much more quickly, and they're making far fewer errors than the ones who learn the older code.
Interesting.
And so, you know, it's just, it's amazing. You know, they're just zipping right through it.
So it's also having unexpected advantages and benefits, huh? It sounds like it.
Yeah, I think particularly for new learners.
Sure.
New learners will have far fewer difficulties in learning the rules of UEB than people who come to it later.
Sure.
Long-time users who are learning UEB will just notice that things look different, and it just takes some adjusting.
Yeah.
Now, something that you probably noticed when you were looking through some of the materials from BANA was that some common punctuation marks and symbols have changed. And some new ones have been added, particularly new symbols for typefaces like boldface and italics, and new symbols for different accent marks.
Right.
And one of the things I would say is, you know, readers shouldn't fear these changes, that over the next few years we're going to be switching over from the older code to the UEB, and during this period of time, transcribers will put special symbols pages at the front of the book or insert transcriber's notes to introduce the new symbols that you'll encounter in the book.
Sure.
So depending on what you're reading, you may encounter very few new symbols, or you may encounter, you know, more. It depends on what you're reading.
What literature you're reading. Now, we wish you the best of luck in the transition, and invite our listeners to find out more, or our Braille listeners who are Braille readers to find out more about UEB. And if you haven't already, find out more about the different courses that Hadley has to offer. Thanks, Judy, so much for your time. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Can you tell if this burger contains bacteria that could cause kidney failure? Listen. You can't see it either. Use a food thermometer to be sure you've cooked meat and poultry to a bacteria-killing temperature. Raw or undercooked meat may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to our Saturday morning of the Beacon here. We're about to go into the...
This is a beautiful picture I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, it's it. We're about to go into the lettuce, turnip, the beet, health food section of our program.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here. What is this? What kind
that
of cookie is
this?
That
is a chocolate cookie with white frosting and sprinkles.
God,
it is quite delectable.
Oh,
yeah.
My Lord and Taylor.
Although I have no room for judgment because I just finished stuffing my face with an apple turnover. So
there's apple turnovers
there
over
here? Oh, there's a plate over here.
How come you didn't tell me about that?
I did. I described them to you when Brian brought them in.
Oh, that's true.
We're finishing up holiday leftovers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these you could actually throw at somebody and kill them.
Right.
You
but those apple turnovers are quite tasty.
I understand they are. Well, listen, get the apple. Are you all done with the apple turnovers?
I'm good. I'm ready now to preach about health.
Yes, right. You're ready for your close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Oh, the irony. I'm ready for my close-up.
Here we go. We're going
to... Out of my teeth. Okay.
Get it out of your teeth. Good.
You're ready.
It's time for us to turn up the beat, and here she is, ladies and gentlemen, with the apple turnover in her teeth. The lovely Lainey Kleeman.
You just hush and enjoy your cookie.
I'm going to.
All right,
I'll be over here in the corner. Call me when you're done. Like a friend of mine used to say, I'll enjoy my fat pill over here.
So very true. All right, changing gears drastically. Let's kind of focus on. I mean, we are only on the 16th of January, so hopefully some of our new. That's not helpful. Hopefully some of our New Year's resolutions are still intact. Maybe not. If not, no judgment here, because mine sure aren't. I didn't even really have resolutions this year. So I am not in a position to judge anybody. But if you are interested in maintaining your resolution and keeping on the healthy track, here's a couple more tips for you. There is a delicious pancake recipe that is simply bananas, eggs, and peanut butter pancakes. And all you do with that is get 2 overripe bananas, get 2 eggs, and 1/2 cup of almond butter or peanut butter, if you prefer. Whisk them together, and they make delicious, healthy, simple pancakes. So that's a great alternative to a lot of the refined flours that we find in pancakes and some of the other unhealthy ingredients that do go into pancakes, and these do cook up nicely.
You know, that actually sounds very good.
Yeah. Peanut butter and banana, you can't really go wrong with that.
I know. So if you're sitting around the breakfast table this morning wondering what you should make,
and you're feeling inspired because, you know, bananas, eggs, and peanut butter are typical staples in the average household.
That's right. And if they go wrong, you know who to blame. So go ahead.
Blame Bill. He's the one with
the cookie.
He's got cookie in hand. The next option to have is, instead of using sugar to cook with, you can naturally sweeten your items with dates. Now, dates typically need to be, you can cook with them. They don't taste like dates. I know I had that scrunched up nose face when I first heard of that, too, because if you eat dates plain, it's not very appetizing to me. But they're a great natural sweetener, specifically more for liquidy type of drinks. So smoothies. I like to make my own almond milk, and so I'll sometimes use dates as a sweetener for my almond milk. Or you can actually cook with them as well. You just have to get them into a puree first, and then you can cook with them to enhance the sweetness in whatever product you use. So dates are actually a great, natural, healthy alternative to sugars.
To sugar.
Yeah, you bet. And
he sits here chewing a cookie.
Absolutely, to sugars. Yeah, to sugars. You can also use avocados or hummus as a spread instead of mayonnaise. I like to use, actually, both. I love avocado and hummus.
I like avocado, too.
Yeah, it's so good. And it spreads really, really nicely. So if you have a sandwich, and because I don't like dry sandwiches, I love mayo. I do. I really do. And so instead of using mayo now, as a vegan, I can't do mayo because it's got egg in it. But I use avocado often as a spread, and that gives the sandwich the texture that you need to enjoy it.
There was a neighbor of ours who had an avocado plant down in Florida.
Oh, man.
And I mean, they talk about the avocado.
Right.
Huge.
The Florida avocados are giant.
You know what? They're better than life itself.
They really are.
They really are.
Yeah. The Florida avocados are just delicious. Mm-hmm. I actually, growing up in California, not Northern California, but Southern California has a lot of avocado. You know, there's avocado trees in Southern California. And so I'd go down there and, you know, eating fresh off the tree. I mean, it's just, oh, my God. There's nothing better in life.
How are things, by the way, in Sebastopol? Are they getting drowned over there? Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Not that I know of. And another healthy alternative is, instead of using sour cream in products, you can use Greek yogurt. And that gives you a nice, you can't taste it. See, this is what you don't get. A lot of these things that you're cooking with, you don't taste it. You don't bite into this and go, oh, that tastes like Greek yogurt. What it does is it adds moisture to the product. So it gives you a nice moist consistency instead of, you know, and you can substitute the sour cream for Greek yogurt. It's not going to taste like Greek yogurt. You still get the same finishing product. It's just healthier for you.
I just don't like the way Greek yogurt tastes.
Honey, you don't taste it.
I understand.
Oh, and they're scrunching your nose. You can't taste it. But it the purpose of it is to create a moist end product, and that's what it does, instead of sour cream, because Greek yogurt at least has some nutritional value to it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You're true.
That's right. You know, take it or leave it. You can use potatoes or cashews to make a cream base for soups instead of using cream. So if you puree potatoes or cashews, if you soak cashews...
I love cashews.
I do, too. Oh. And, you know, if you soak them, I like to soak them for a half hour in real hot water, and then if you puree them, they turn into this beautiful cream that you can then flavor to whatever your recipe
actually
is.
Like a soup type of thing?
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And it's a great, pureed cashews are actually a great vegan cheese alternative for like a nacho cheese.
Yep.
Because they have that real creamy texture. It's wonderful. So it's, you know, either that or pureed potatoes are a great base for a creamy soup, as you know, instead of using cream.
Sure. Good. Okay.
Yeah, and then a couple more, using oats instead of breadcrumbs for, you know, meatloaves or meatball things like
I
that.
I love oats.
Yeah.
That's
and
very good.
Yeah. Very, very good. Very healthy, whole grain instead of the breadcrumbs, which really provide no nutritional value. Using applesauce instead of oil when baking. That's a pretty common one, actually, and that's just a one-to-one ratio. So instead of using oil for a cake, use applesauce for a cake. It doesn't taste like apples, but again, it provides that same end
the
product
moist.
Of that moist,
yeah,
yeah moist consistency. And then this one, I haven't tried it, and I'm dying to try it, but it's a banana ice cream, and essentially what you do is you freeze bananas.
Oh, that sounds good just
right?
in itself.
I know.
Oh, boy.
All you do is you freeze bananas, you puree them, and then you have ice cream. And it tastes like banana ice cream, but apparently the consistency is identical
to ice cream.
Mm. So you can do your add-ins. You can do peanut butter. You can do chocolate chips. You can do I mean, you can do any add-in you want to this.
And I love bananas. You don't think of a nice share of banana every morning.
My mom does that with her pug, too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's. I mean, bananas are great. So I haven't tried the banana ice cream. It's definitely on my top five to-do list, and I'll report back once I do.
I'm surprised he didn't wake up when we said banana. You know, he's usually on point at that
He's
point.
Dreaming. He's shaking his little leg. He's shaking
his
dream.
Maybe he's going to a banana farm or whatever.
Maybe he
so
is.
So that's it for Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
And that's it for this week.
And you know, it'll be on our website.
You betcha.
All this valuable information and some really good stuff this week.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate
now,
that.
Now hand me a cookie.
Yeah, here you go.
We'll be back with more right after this.
Sure. Humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me. I'm a dog, and a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
See, you broke down.
I did.
You're having apple turnovers.
I am not ashamed of that. Yeah. I've never hidden the fact that I have a mean sweet tooth. I shout it out loud
Listen,
and proud.
I have, Stacy always tells me, she says, I know. She says, when did you get in this habit of eating sweets?
Oh.
You know, like when it, you know, like after the after the news in the evening.
Oh, okay.
And I said, this is something I grew up on.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of those kids that grew up in a household where we had a cup of coffee and a piece of cake before you went to bed.
Yep.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I grew up in a house. I would come home from school. My mom wasn't home yet. And I just remember our after-school snack was always an ice cream float that we'd make ourselves. Mm-hmm. But my mom wasn't home to say no.
Right.
So we'd fill these massive cups of ice cream to the brim. Must have been 4 cups of ice cream, you know, and then fill it with soda. And that was our after-school snack. And
it was so
It was
good.
So good, but you know what? I think that it ruined me for life. Thank goodness my mom doesn't listen to this show, but honestly, we could eat whatever we wanted, and so as a kid.
Well, she wasn't home.
Yeah.
You know what I used to have? Miracle Whip sandwiches.
Oh, that is
That's how I lost my boyish figure real early. You know?
That's not going to help much, is it?
No, truly it doesn't. But there's a couple of guys over here that can help us out.
They sure can.
At least to find out what's going on in the world of adaptive technology.
Yeah, they're not going to help with our girls.
No,
figures,
we're going to eat apple turnovers while they're doing their thing over there. So let's visit with Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins as we take a walk down that little street.
Love it.
Halfway up the block. And turn up the sidewalk to the house, and we stop into Tom's Corner.
Well, here we are again, everyone. Welcome into the wonderful world of technology. I'm Brian Hawkins, and good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Can you believe those two, all those goodies and none for us?
Oh, I know. Isn't that something?
But we'll have to get something later. But today, you've got a very important topic, visual skills that folks need to understand.
Right.
What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, thanks. We've been seeing lots of persons that come into our technology area. We go through the store and sit down with them, especially those who are newly visually impaired, who have macular degeneration, glaucoma, and the referrals also are coming from the low vision clinics. So if a patient's been prescribed a magnifying glass or reading glasses, they also want to see software for their computer and things like that. So it's been really great because we can take our time, we can go slow, we can get specific with each person. If they want to read the newspaper, they have a certain magazine they read. So with, for instance, with the desktop CCTVs, recently we've had a couple of patients that I've worked with for, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours, and we sat in front of the CCTV for the first time. And these are patients who had lost vision in both eyes that needed pretty large magnification. And they were frustrated because they'd tried using a CCTV before and just couldn't see the words. And so helping them understand one visual skill that's really important for macular degeneration, we call it eccentric viewing or off-the-center viewing. So I'll have them look at a word like the word baker, and they might be able to see the B-A, but they can't see the rest of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people have, like, they can see the E-R, but they can't see the beginning part of the word. And so by moving the eye slowly up, and getting that scotoma, that blind spot, to move out of the way, and then being able to see the whole word. Now, even though it's blurry, people say, well, it's still blurry. I say, yeah, but can you read it? Oh, yeah, now I can read it. So we call that blur interpretation. You're trying to interpret through the blurry spot, which, of course, is caused by the macular degeneration. But now they can see the word. So then that's really step one, is finding their best eccentric viewing point or where they should place their eye.
Mm-hmm.
Then we move the XY table to the next word so that the second word goes right in the same space that the first word was. And persons can begin to see 3, 4, 5 words all of a sudden right in a row. And they get all excited. The brain gets all excited. And guess what happens? They forget what they did, and the eye goes right back to the middle again, and we have to start over. So it's a visual skill that needs practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it does take us sometimes several hours to really get somebody confident enough that they can now purchase a unit and take it home and sit there and practice 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon, 20 minutes at night. And I tell people, do it every day, because if you do it every day, you'll keep remembering how you did it, and your brain will start to work together with your eye to not go back to the middle. And usually people are convinced within 2 to 3 weeks that this is a great way for me to read and I'll be able to do it. If they're not able to do it, we do tell people, no, you let us know. And if you're at all doubtful, we want to actually have you return that unit. We give you all your money back. We find the best thing for you. We don't want you buying something that just because it's you think it might work, but then when you get it home, it really doesn't. So that's been really cool. So I've worked with several people recently. I can think of Harry, who's an ex-pilot for Pan Am Airlines.
Yeah.
So he was thrilled with our service. Consuela, she is an older woman with glaucoma. So I told Consuela, now she had a different need where her right eye was kind of her dominant eye all her life.
Mm-hmm.
But she had lost a lot of vision in her right eye. And so when she was trying to read on the machine, she couldn't get the words to come in. And I noticed her head was going to the side and she was kind of favoring that right eye. I said, I want you to look at the screen and close your right eye. And the words came right in. She never thought about
using
the fact that her left eye is her better eye now.
Uh-huh.
And her brain kept wanting to try to use the right eye. So I must have said it 40 times. Close your right eye. Close your right eye. So she said, you got to mention that on the radio. I said, that's a really good point. Because what we're really talking about is vision rehabilitation is success, not only in, you know, purchasing this technology, but having the professionals who can guide you as to what your particular situation is going to respond to. And I think people, they lose hope if they've looked at a machine and nobody's guided them on what visual skills will help them to use that particular technology. So it's pretty exciting work. It's very fulfilling for me, and of course, being legally blind and visually impaired for 40 years. I pretty much all the tricks down that I know of, and I can pass that along to our patients and customers all that come into the store, which is really cool.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, I think either last week or the week before, we talked about our new website, but there's something even newer regarding the web, and the store itself has a website, right?
It does. So when you click on Shop Online, what happens in the world of the internet is it actually goes to an actual other website that looks like it's part of our website, but it's really not. And so now with our Chicago Lighthouse website being so favorable to tablets and mobile devices, we thought we got to change our store website. So when you click on Shop Online, again, it's invisible to the consumer, but it goes right to our new Chicago Lighthouse store website, which should launch probably Thursday or Friday of this week. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited. It's a dark black with very white contrasting letters. The format is just very simple in how it's displayed.
Right.
So you might just see like two products next to each other. If you do it on your smartphone, it'll show you just one product at a time. So it all fits within the confines of your smartphone or your tablet. So,
is that new that you can now get it on your smartphone?
Yes, right. That's new because our old store website would cut off on the side.
On the cell.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's exciting.
And we also put what we call a carousel, which is on the home page.
Mm-hmm.
There's I think six different products that come across the screen for about 5 seconds, so that you can kind of get an overview of what are some of the new featured products. And so Luke on our staff has been very busy putting together actually our whole store website. He's put that together for us, and so we're excited about that as well. We're getting more and more customers now from all over the country. We used to be pretty strong in Illinois and the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the word is getting out about a lot of our services and a lot of the products that we carry. So we're excited about that as well.
And a good thing that you're doing in conjunction with the launch of the new website is that you have a blowout sale.
We do. We do. We have some portable CCTVs that are very, very popular. We have what we call some demonstrator units. These are units that have not been sold to customers, but we've used them either in our store or our doctors have used them to show patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I would highlight a few of those today, and many of these you might have heard of, like the Pebble Mini. It was $295. It's on sale right now for $199. So that's a nice savings. The Mini Max was $395. We also have that at $185, which is really a great price. The Aki, the Pebble 3.5. was $495, $199 is our blowout price. So that's another nice one. The Lookie was one of my favorites from the old days. $495 is now $299. The Compact 5 is a nice wide screen with a high definition camera. Normally sells for $895. We have that one for $550.
Wow.
So that's a really nice one. The Compact 7, which is the large, almost tablet-size video magnifier, $1,295, now on sale for $795. So if you're looking at all to purchase a portable for yourself, this might be a good time. These are all only in our 1850 location, and so you want to go to 1850 West Roosevelt or call our store at 1-800-919-3375. If there's one that appeals to you right away and you'd like to call Monday, go ahead and do that, and we'll put it aside for you, and then we want you to come in and try it.
Right.
So that we know it works for you. But we'd be glad to do that. We also have a few devices that read out loud that we're putting on special. The iPal Solo is normally $19.95. We have that one for $895. That's a demonstrator model.
Wow.
So over $1,000 off.
Right.
Again, I know Bill's used that product before and likes it. The iPal Ace, $24.95. That one we've reduced to $17.95. The Clear Reader by Optelec, $19.95. We've reduced that one to $12.95. So those are some really great prices.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Really a time that you might want to consider. We also will put a warranty on there for you at least 6 months so that you don't have to worry about any problems. We'll take care of that for you. So that's really great. If you've not seen some of these video magnifiers and you want to see videos about them, mm-hmm. just go to youtube.com/CHI. Lighthouse, or in the search box just type CHI Lighthouse and you'll see a whole list of all of our videos of these different products so that you familiarize yourself as to how they work, and you'll see many of the new things that we often talk about on this show. So it's been good.
I'm Brian Hawkins and he's Tom Persky. This is The Beacon.
The show or the sweets this morning?
The sweets. I mean, we can't even flatter ourselves.
No.
Come on. There's really no...
Well, hopefully we were entertaining for folks having breakfast with us today.
I hope so.
I hope so,
that's
too.
What we aim to please.
That's it. Sandra Murillo is our associate producer on the show. Not only did she do Sandra's View, but kept us online and knowing exactly where we were supposed to go. You, with your Let Us Turn Up the Beat set.
Yay!
Which actually is probably a very, very popular part of this program.
I hope so.
I'm going to have to look into it and see.
Thanks.
And of course, we thank Dr. Janet Slick, our executive director at the Chicago Lighthouse, for her belief in our program to make it all possible, and Brian Hawk.
Aww.
Who does that voodoo that he do.
You haven't said that in a while.
I know.
I like when you say that.
I have to. It's the first time this year.
Which isn't saying much. It's week two.
That's
but,
right. Well, you know, what the heck. You know, at least we're getting started.
Start somewhere. Anyway. Exactly.
So we'll be back next week. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around for the that bunch.
The
with all the power tools,
right,
and they'll come in here
and all that stuff. Yeah.
And maybe they'll make a bench this week.
Maybe.
That's a couple of messages.
Why not, right?
Oh, I'm spitting all over the place. A couple of messages, and I don't envy them following me on this microphone. A couple of, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.